Last week, Jonathan Turner, and this week, Rachel Booz. How blessed we are to have talented musicians in our midst. The sadness is they're off to school most of the time. You know, but we're just very, very thankful to have them here. I have a very personal God sighting this morning that I wanted to start with. Hope it won't bore you. I have the great privilege of seeing God at work in my wife, Karen. And today is my 29th wedding anniversary. My greatest earthly blessing is that gal. There's none better. I like my boys, kinda. I love her. And so thankful to God for the way he works in her and through her to minister to my family and to uplift my life. So I'm very thankful for all God has done. And she's easy for me to love. I'm not so sure it's true vice versa. But I married up. Well, summer has finally come. The calendar tells us so. June 21st. So we know that it's here, and we've entered that season of consistently warm weather. You know that time when we can expect those couple of hot weeks in July, you know, those hot, sticky, humid weeks that inevitably come our way in late July at some point. And not only is this the start of summer, but it's also the season of graduations. Now, when I was doing a lot with the youth group, I know the season of graduation was a very busy time for me, you know, because students would be graduating left and right, and there'd be all these party invitations, and so I felt like a rock star going from party to party to party. You know, you'd go, and after a while, you'd spend a couple of hours at one party and celebrating and excited, and then you'd go to the next party and celebrate and excited, and the next party and celebrate and excited, and the next party. Hey, good luck with that. Okay, so it was a little hard to maintain my momentum over time. But the graduation of a student is a big deal. And we have, if you look in your bulletin, we have a number of graduates, both leaving high school and those who have graduated from college. And it is a tremendous accomplishment and one that should be uplifted. And so we want to take just a minute to highlight that. And I thought that if we had a graduate here and a graduate's family, then I'm gonna ask them to stand, that we might pray for them and pray over them and thank God for our graduates. So would you be willing to stand if you are a graduate or are the family of a graduate? We have some in the booth upstairs. We have some down here. Yeah. Yeah, what a joy. What a joy. Hey, can we take a moment and just lift you up in prayer? Because we recognize that parents have poured their heart and soul into these kids. And for those graduates who are heading off, they're graduating into college, you know, this is a time of transition for everybody. Some are heading off to more schooling. Some are heading off into the work field. Some are leaving home and heading off to college, and they got to start all again. From the bottom of the barrel, they got to move their way up. So we recognize it's both an exciting moment and a time of transition. And maybe even a little bit of anxiety. So let me offer a word of prayer. Oh, Holy Spirit, we ask for a spirit of prayer as we lift up these, the families and the students who have graduated. Father God, we can't thank you enough that you have provided us the educational opportunities that allow these students to grow in knowledge. And Father, we thank you for the parents and the grandparents and the guardians and all those who have been a support as these students have made their way through college and high school. And now, Father, we recognize that they are transitioning. They are leaving what they know, and they're headed off to new adventures. And we pray, Father God, that your hand would be upon them, that those students who have come to know Jesus Christ would continue to fix their eyes upon you, that they would center themselves upon you, that they would be fixed on you, that they would be focused on you, that they would plant their flag early in their new locations, that they would find churches they can be a part of and participate in. We pray, Father, that they would remain in the Word of God and that they would remain in prayer as they make their way through whatever adventure you have in store for them. We pray, Father, that they would never lose track, that you are the center of their lives, not their academic wins, not their jobs. Nothing else should take that center stage. We pray that friends won't take that center stage. We pray that girlfriends and boyfriends won't take that center stage. But in fact, Father, we praise you that these students know you, and we pray that they will focus on you. And Father, for those students who don't know you, I pray that in the coming days they would come to know you, and that whatever you bring in their path, that they would see you at work and they would desire to want to know you, to come to know you through the wonder of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we entrust these families to you as they let go. We entrust these students to you as they head into the future. And we thank you and we praise your name because we believe, Father God, that you're going to do good things in the lives of those students who are fixed on you. And we trust them into your care and keeping, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, in the past couple of weeks, I've had the blessing of attending a couple of graduations. For instance, just this past Tuesday, I had the pleasure of seeing our brother Nate Dammer graduated and sworn in as a New York State court officer in a ceremony up in Albany. Now, he's not going to brag on this, so I will. Nate won the top shot in his class. That is, he's the best shooter out of a class of 117. And he was awarded that, he was given recognition for that. Pretty neat accomplishment. Pretty neat accomplishment. And now he's posted at the county courthouse and the family courthouse, and there he is serving and protecting those who enter into the judicial system. And it's a big deal. And this past May, I saw my son Ian graduated from Houghton College. Now, I have to tell you, I like the pomp and circumstance. At Houghton, the students are ushered in to Wesley Chapel. I just like the name of the place. Wesley Chapel. I find myself stirred every time I go there. And they're led in by a Scottish bagpiper. And in my way of thinking, nothing makes a moment more momentous than to have bagpipes playing. You know, now some of you would argue vociferously with me, but I just think it's just stirring to me. I guess it's that Scotch-Irish in me that just loves that. The graduates, they enter into the chapel in their black caps and gowns, and they have a gold tassel that hangs down the right side of their face. It's always fun to watch because they're never quite sure what to do with it because it dangles there. And half of them are kind of scratching their face because this thing is there. And at first glance, as you look at them as they enter in, you might think they all look alike because they're all wearing the same uniform. But it doesn't take but a moment to realize that under the academic gowns, they're really all very different. There are male and female. There are students of various races. There are some who are tall, and there are some who are short. There are some who are large, and there are some who are very small. And they come to the ceremony with different gifts and talents and majors, you know, biology and philosophy and physics and psychology. And they all come with different GPAs, different grade point averages. And as they enter into the chapel, they're greeted by this mix of hoots and hollers and applause as the family members and the loved ones who've gathered there to see them in this moment are just can't contain themselves. Plus, they've been sitting in the auditorium now for about 45 minutes, and they're just thankful for an opportunity to stand up. But they're just, it's just this explosion of applause. And the students, they make their way down the aisles, and they end up on the platform. And then they listen to speeches and various musical interludes and the like. And then each student is called by name, and they come forward, and they receive their diploma, and they shake the hand of the college president. Now, I'm sure that some of those students possibly thought that that day would never, ever come. In fact, for some, it probably seemed like an impossible achievement. That it couldn't happen. Some had overcome illness to finish the race. Some overcame economic and familial hardships of all kinds, things that many of us would never, ever want to experience. Still others may have had to leave family and friends in their countries of origin to attend to the school and go through it just to receive an education. But in the end, regardless of their individual stories, regardless of their trials, and regardless of their struggles, they are in that moment pronounced graduates. And they go from being students to becoming alumni. Now, it's a wonderful time. And I like being there, and I like seeing it, and I like participating. And as I thought about all the graduates who have and will make their way across the platform to receive their degrees in that moment of culmination, in that moment of summation of their efforts and their time at school, I found myself thinking about another graduation of sorts. You see, there will come a day when there will be a great summation and a great culmination for this life. There will come a day when Christ will return in power and with authority and in complete and total triumph. And this graduation day, if you will allow me to play with the metaphor, this graduation day in the scripture is called the Day of the Lord in Isaiah, in 2 Thessalonians, and in the book of Revelation. It's also referred to variously as the Day of Christ in 1 and 2 Corinthians, or the Day of Wrath in Zephaniah and Revelation, and by our Lord Jesus. Now, unlike college graduation, this is a day that is assured for all creation. In fact, we're told in the scripture that the creation groans for the time when there'll be the revealing of the sons of men, when the Lord will return. And in Acts 17:31, it says this, He, that is a reference to God the Father, has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. A day when he will judge the world in his righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. That man is Jesus Christ. And the passage goes on to say, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The assurance that that day of culmination and that day of summation, that day of the Lord is coming, is the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. A fact that our brother Paul, in the letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 20, makes very clear. But in fact, Christ has raised from the dead. So we can be utterly assured that that great graduation day is coming. And not only is the day assured, but according to the books of Isaiah and Ezekiel and Hebrews and 1 Peter and 1 John, that day is also imminent. That means that that day is near. It's a lot closer than it's ever been. And because we know that it's imminent, we need to be aware that it's coming and it's near. That should be motivating to us. We should be mindful of the fact that it wasn't yesterday, so it may be today. It might very well be in the next hour. It might be in the next day. And so we want to keep our minds and our hearts focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that that day is coming. And the way I conduct myself, the way I live this life matters in light of the fact that my judge will most assuredly come. And I want to be prepared when he does. That day is not only assured, oh, it's going to come. And that day is not only imminent, but its arrival is also only known to God. Jesus himself is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 36, as saying this, But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. That means that we need to take caution when we hear some radio preacher or some TV preacher say that after years of study in the scripture, they have determined the day and the time. Run from that. Run from that. Because there is no created being that knows the answer to that. And when someone claims it, we need to be very critical. No, no, you don't know that. Nor should we be frightened. We know that his coming is assured. We know that it is imminent. It is near. And we don't know when. And we don't know when. Now, for some, this graduation day, this assured moment, this imminent return, this day of culmination and summation of life will be a day of great sorrow. Because the scripture says that the day of the Lord will be a fearful day in Amos, a great and awesome day in Joel, meaning it's going to be so big, it's going to be so incredible. And according to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Revelation, it will be a day marked by judgment. It will be a day marked by wrath. And it will be a day marked by the vengeance of God. I want you to think on that a minute. A day of judgment? A day of vengeance? And a day of the wrath of God? And that judgment and wrath and vengeance will be poured out as all of the ungodliness and all of the unrighteousness of men is finally revealed. Now, I don't know if you know the whole story. I had a friend who was a cop. And my friend ended up having to arrest a man who had murdered his wife and child in a most inglorious way. And my friend had to sit in a room with this man, sit across from a table, and take his statement. As this man nonchalantly began to give him every detail of the crime. From the moment he got up, to the planning, to the preparation, to the execution of the crime. As though he had just gotten up and had breakfast that morning. And it was so disturbing to hear this man tell the whole story, to give him all the detail of his motive and his reasoning, which was all very thoughtful and well thought out. In the end, my friend said to him, "Are you prepared to make a statement to what you just told me?" And the gentleman said, "Yes, but can I have something to drink first? I'm thirsty." Oh my goodness. And you know that pouring out of the whole story of that man's ungodliness and that man's unrighteousness and the crime that he committed left an indelible mark on my friend. A mark that sits in there and he's reminded of how evil men can be. That's what happens when you hear the whole story. Can you imagine that day when Jesus will return? On that day, when all the ungodliness and all the unrighteousness of this life is made bare before all of humanity, and we get to see it all. Can you imagine the weight of that moment? Can you imagine what that looks like? To me, that sounds terrifying. Terrifying to have it all laid bare. In this moment, there will be great weeping. And there will be great sorrow as God then pronounces his righteous judgment through his Christ upon all of mankind. No appeals, no higher authority, no excuses, no more time. And then the words, "Guilty as charged. And depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Oh, there'll be weeping, and there'll be gnashing of teeth, and there'll be sorrow like we can't even imagine. For some, the day of the Lord, that great graduation day, that great summation of all things, will be a sorrowful day. But for some, it will be a day of rejoicing. You see, for those who have confessed faith in Christ, that day of the Lord, that day of graduation will be wondrous, and it will be a glorious day. And the blessing of this day is assured for all believers. It says in Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this, this is Paul writing, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, we're told that Jesus will sustain us in that day. Those who have put their trust and their faith in Christ Jesus will be kept to the very end. And the scripture says that they will be found guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ and kept forever in his presence. So he will lay out the ungodliness. He will lay out the unrighteousness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And those in Christ Jesus will be found guiltless. The wrath of God will not be laid upon those who have received Christ Jesus. Can you imagine that moment? And to think that the security we have for that day, it won't be based on our good works, and praise God that it isn't. And it's not going to be based on the totality of our good thoughts. Oh, how hard we tried. But rather, it's going to be based on our assurance, and our final glorious graduation in eternal life will be founded completely and totally upon the work of Jesus Christ. There's no other hope we have. So he will lay bare this unrighteousness. He will lay bare this ungodliness. Something that we could never account for. And he took it upon his own shoulders. He took it upon himself, all the weight of that pain, and paid the penalty for that. And for those of us in Christ Jesus, we will not have to face the wrath of God. That makes me want to sing. And having been received by Christ, we are spared forever the wrath of God that will come on that day of judgment, forever and ever. So in Christ, we're now justified. That is, we're declared righteous before God because Jesus shed his blood in payment for our sins. It is Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. And it is Jesus who destined us for salvation. For the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. My dear brothers and sisters, on that great graduation day, that day of culmination and summation of this life, all those who have confessed faith in Christ from every race and nation, men and women, large and small, tall and short, the greatly talented and the not so greatly talented, will receive new bodies, bodies sown in honor, bodies that are spiritual in nature and utterly imperishable. We will be raised with new bodies. And we will be robed in this graduation. We will be robed in the glory of Christ Jesus to the resounding hoots and the resounding hollers of the angels in praise of our God at what he's done. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. Because God will have been utterly and completely and totally and finally victorious. And you and I will have the glorious privilege of being allowed to offer him our worship and praise. And can you imagine it being any other way? Can you imagine any other response than worship and praise in light of what he has done? Oh, how that should fill our hearts these days. As we make our way through this life, as we make our way through the day-to-day, recognizing that that day is coming, that day is nearer than we think, that day is assured to be known only by God, and that day is assured for us, and we will be spared the wrath of God. As we think on that, as we make our way through the day, would that not fill our hearts with joy? We are spared the wrath of God. We are spared His eternal judgment. How easy it is for us to forget that. How easy it is for this man to forget that. Instead, to look at the context of this life as though that's the most important thing, when in the end, it is not. That day is coming, and I am going to be forever free, and all those who are in Christ will be declared righteous and clean forever and ever and ever. But while we wait for that day, we are like students seeking to graduate. We will find ourselves working hard. We may find ourselves suffering and struggling and grieving through the challenges of this life. Oh, that we might be spared those challenges, but they will come our way. But we endure through it all with the promise of graduation. We endure through it all through the promise of His final triumphant day being assured to come. And near and perfectly timed by God. We will have the assurance of Christ that we will graduate. And we will graduate in triumph to the praise of His glorious name. And because of the promise of victory, we persevere and we hold fast to the Word of God. That's going to be a glorious day. Can you imagine the pomp and circumstance of that day? I don't picture it as a heavenly choir. I picture it as a heavenly bagpipe choir. We're going to enter into that moment. And can you imagine the moment when you stand before God in the judgment of Christ and hear Him say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well done, good and faithful servant." That moment's waiting for us. Take heart. Lift up your head. Rejoice in the faithfulness of God. You're going to have one great graduation day. Let's pray. Father God, how wondrous are your ways, how magnificent are your ways, how perfect are your ways, how glorious are your ways, how tremendous and terrific and majestic and glorious and powerful and just and righteous and holy are your ways. Oh, Father God, make us truly mindful that that day is coming, that day when we will stand before you and we will see with our own eyes what Christ has done, and we will revel and the glories of our graduation day. Oh, Father, in the meantime, we pray that you would work in us, weak vessels. That you draw us ever closer to yourself. Remind us, Father God, through your word and through prayer and through faithful friends, remind us of what is true and what is coming for us. Remind us of the great and glorious inheritance we have, that which will never perish or spoil or fade. Remind us. The troubles of this life are passing in light of what you have for us on that day. And lift up our hearts. Help us. Help us. Help us to see it as you do. And we pray this in Christ's most holy, His most excellent, and wonderful of names. Amen.